بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, the topic that I have is actually one that I think ties into all of these topics that have been mentioned and all of these different subjects that have been covered and probably many of the subjects that were covered overall today in this convention. It's the topic of, or the question of, why? Why does God allow this? Why does God do this? Why does God not do this? Why does God give them? Why does God not give them? And subhanAllah, usually when you start asking those questions of why does God, the end, unfortunately, of that entire thought process is that God doesn't exist. And it leads to atheism. And subhanAllah, you'll find that when you talk to atheists, and by the way, it is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that atheists don't exist. We don't believe they exist. Studies actually show, even secular studies, lie detector tests, all of them show that atheists do not exist. There's no such thing as a pure atheist. They absolutely don't exist. Everyone believes in God, whether they like it or not. Some of them are angry with God, but they do believe in God. And that's a fact. And subhanAllah, when you talk to people that don't believe in God anymore, then you'll find that usually it was a traumatic event that took place in their lives. And for some people, that traumatic event was the death of a family member. For some of them, that traumatic event was their dad not buying them a car at 16, or not buying them a PlayStation, or your wife's biryani changed, right? You know, what's happening, right? Why is this happening to me? Why God? Why, oh Allah, right? They're really strange reasons sometimes, but subhanAllah, the fact of the matter is that people couldn't deal with something that happened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described this to, He likened this tree to al-kalim al-khabitha. What Shaykh Abdul Nasir was talking about, that a person would go to sleep, a believer, and wake up a disbeliever. So those of you that are going to sleep right now, may Allah help you when you wake up. Say ameen. You know, some people would go to sleep in a certain state of iman, and they'd wake up in another state. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the filthy word, as opposed to a tawheed, which is firm in the heart, that it's like a tree that is completely uprooted. اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار. It has no grounding. It has no foundation. The first storm that hits it, it doesn't just bend, it also breaks. And this is when you fail to establish a meaningful relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't be able to weather those storms, and unfortunately it leads people to stop believing in God, or to try to convince themselves not to believe in God altogether. And when we talk about this question of why evil exists, number one, the audacity of a human being who is limited by his senses, limited by his four-dimensional world, limited by his five senses, to question the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I don't know about you guys, but for me, one of the places that I have the most khushu' is the zoo. How many of you guys like going to the zoo? I love going to the zoo. Alright? Because sometimes you see animals there, and subhanAllah, you know, they always have that person that's explaining, you know, what this animal's about and things of that sort. And most people are ignoring that person. I really get interested in listening to the explanations of the animals. And subhanAllah, I was with my family at the San Diego Zoo just a few months ago. And the lady was telling us about the bald eagle. And subhanAllah, she was talking about the eyesight of that eagle. And she said that, do you know that if you placed a newspaper 300 yards away, that's 3 football fields away from this eagle, the eagle would be able to read the fine print on that newspaper. And I said, subhanAllah. Number one, I thought Jannah is going to be awesome, inshallah. Because you'll be able to see, if that's what an eagle can do in this dunya, then what about a human being? What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation in Jannah? Imagine how much cooler we'll be, right? But on top of that, how arrogant are we as human beings when we think we've got it all figured out with our limited senses? And so there's a certain audacity, and it's an arrogance and a pride that comes with this idea that it's okay for you to ask Allah why, to question God, to question a creator that is not limited by senses, that is not limited by dimensions, that is not limited by the universes and the galaxies that exist billions and billions of light years away that we have no idea about, that is not limited by, subhanAllah, by any of these things, not limited by any of these human limitations. Who are we to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And therefore, who are we to question His plan when we can't even understand the full extent of that plan? How can you judge the picture by the pixel? I'm sure you guys have heard that. Right? You come up and you say, well, this is evil because. And you act like you know, but you don't know. And there's something very important about that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to humble ourselves. And I'm talking first and foremost to the believers. And teaches us to understand, number one, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The angels who are a far superior creation to us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He created, that He's going to appoint Adam alayhi salam as a khalifa on this earth. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. They said, oh Allah, are you going to put a man on there? Are you going to put this creation in charge of the earth? يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. This is a corrupt creation. They're going to murder. They're going to kill. And it didn't take too long, right? Qabil and Habil, Cain and Abel. It didn't take too long for the murder and the corruption to start, right? And the angels knew. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew before we even were placed on this earth what this creation was capable of. Because we have choice. They didn't have choice. And what did Allah say? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know that which you don't know. Plain and simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do damage control. You know, it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates and then things start going wrong and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to fix it. Every single problem, every single evil, every single good, every single incident was already decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows. And it is our firm belief, number one, that there is absolutely no such thing as absolute evil. That all evil is relative. Even the most evil creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being shaitan has some good in his creation. There is a purpose and there is a wisdom behind the creation of shaitan. Allah didn't force him to be evil. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan is so great that even in the creation of that evil, even in his tughyan, he's fulfilling a purpose. Even in his disobedience, he's fulfilling a purpose. And there's a reason why everything is happening. And you know, the first question of why does God, it tends to be an innocent question. Which is the question of, you know, when something bad happens to me, why is Allah doing this to me? How do I know if this is a punishment or a purification? Or when something good happens to me, how do I know whether or not this is a reward from Allah, this is Allah's pleasure or a manifestation of His displeasure? And the fact of the matter is that we don't find the Prophet ﷺ and the companions bothering themselves with those questions. Rather, they would ask themselves how they should respond to the blessing or to the trial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In your response is the answer. If you're responding with patience, know that Allah has sent you a purification. And if you're responding with gratitude, know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you a reward. The answer is in the way that you respond. And you know, in the question of evil as a whole, why is it that we always expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bail us out as human beings for our own evil and our own corruption? You know, one of the most powerful quotes I've ever heard in my life is I wanted to ask God why He allows poverty and oppression and torture, but I was afraid He might ask me the same question. What if Allah asks you that question? You have capabilities as well. And there are two types of evil. Right? You know, people always make this distinction. Two types of evil. There's moral evil and natural evil. Moral evil can be directly ascribed to our own corruption, our own greed, our own selfishness, and our own issues. So whenever you turn on the TV, for example, and you see famine in the 21st century, and hunger, and starvation, don't think, why did Allah do that to those people? Realize that in this world, we have enough resources that each and every single member of the human race could have a 3,300 calorie diet. You ever heard in economics that the problem is, anyone know? Starts with an S. The problem in the world is scarcity. It's what they teach you. It's not scarcity, it's disparity. You know, alhamdulillah, we have a Muslim socialist president, right? That's a joke, you guys know that, right? Okay, just making sure. Okay? But the problem is not scarcity. Right? We have enough food. We have enough money to take care of people. How many of you guys saw that study that 85 people in the world, I think it was 85 people in the world have some, whatever, like 90% of the world's wealth or 99% or something crazy like that? That's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fault. Why don't we blame ourselves as a human race? What are you doing to correct that? What are you doing about that? What are you doing to solve problems in this world? Right? So that moral evil is something that can be directly ascribed to us as human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to account for that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call us to account if we didn't make efforts to correct those things within our own capacities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call us to account. Allah is going to ask you why. Yeah, hunger was an issue. What did you do about it? Oppression was an issue. You're sitting here complaining about Bashar al-Assad and saying, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow Assyria to happen? And then you're beating your wife at home? You know, what about your own oppression? What about your own dhulm? Solve your own problems. Right? And then talk about the world and what's going on in the world and why is this happening and why is that happening. And the fact of the matter, and I don't want to repeat myself because I know a lot of you were at the earlier session of Is Life Fair? Fairness is a deeply subjective term. It's a deeply subjective term and it's a mindset and it usually comes from a place of entitlement. And at the same time, most people don't really want life to be fair. They just want life to be unfair in their favor. You want to be the rich guy. You want to be the one that has no problems in life. Right? That's usually what it's about. And as we said in that session, the beautiful hadith in Sahih Muslim, where Rasulullah ﷺ said that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَتَى. Verily he has succeeded who has submitted himself and who has been given enough, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala convinced him and satisfied him with what he gave to him. Because most of us have this faith crisis about why is this bad happening whenever something happens to us that we perceive as bad and that we perceive as evil. We don't care about the rest of the world. It's about me. Right? Why is this happening to me? And so the first type of evil can be directly traced to human beings, to our own greed. Why do we allow these things to happen? Why are we not doing anything to solve these problems? And then the second type of evil, which is natural evil. Now as Muslims, we understand that natural evil is also connected to moral evil because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ. That corruption, oppression has appeared on the land and on the seas because of what man's hands have earned. Because of 40 archers that disobeyed the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Uhud, the entire ummah had to suffer, including the Prophet ﷺ. We believe that as Muslims. But how do we understand this now in the grand scheme of things? And I want to put out a philosophy or a theory rather. It's not a theory. It's an explanation from our ulama as to how to understand this entire thing. How to understand the concept of qada and qadr. And it's very, very, very interesting. And it was the most interesting explanation that I heard. And by the way, I want to recommend you all a book because I don't have time. I have 6 minutes and I intend to respect my time. The Theodicy of Perpetual Optimism. The Theodicy of Perpetual Optimism. It's not written by a Harvard professor. It's written by Ibn Taymiyyah. The Theodicy of Perpetual Optimism. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala's thoughts on theodicy and why evil happens and explaining the whole problem of evil. And you'll find, by the way, many secular answers, and there are very few secular answers to that, but many of the answers today that exist in regards to the question of evil are directly taken from Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. And this was compiled about 11 years ago in Birmingham by Professor John Hoover. Ibn Taymiyyah's answer to the question of evil. But now here's something that I want to propose to you all. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala barely addresses this in the Qur'an? Isn't it a serious issue? The first deviant group in history, Al-Qadariyah. Those who denied Qadr, those who denied divine decree, those who came to terms with their lack of understanding of divine decree by saying, you know what, it doesn't exist. It barely exists in the Qur'an. The entire discussion barely exists in the Qur'an. And in fact, the ayah that's always quoted, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That it may be that you hate something and it's actually better for you. And it may be that you love something and it's actually bad for you. That's pretty much it, right? When it comes to understanding the question of evil and why things happen. And of course, the passage of Khidr alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. And you know, three things that appear to be something that they totally weren't. Right? We have a few passages here and there. But the question is not addressed at a very large level in the Qur'an. And I found something very interesting. And Imam al-Sakhawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not elaborate much on the question of divine decree and on the question of fate and on the question of evil, even though it's a pillar of your iman to believe in it, is because if you believe in Allah and you believe in the hereafter, it's very easy to believe in divine decree. Think about this. Every single problem that we have in regards to this represents either a lack of belief in Allah or a lack of belief in the hereafter. It's one of the two. Either you don't trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're not so sure that the world extends beyond what we see. It's one of those two. And if you do have that understanding, that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, whoever establishes his belief in divine decree, establishes his tawheed, establishes his monotheism. And whoever does not believe in qadr will destroy his tawheed, will destroy his very belief in God. Think about this. You know, how is it that oppressors exist? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمْ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays the oppressor until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes him and he doesn't let him go. What does this involve? Belief in Allah and belief in the last day. I know that there is a day that justice will be served. I have no doubt in that. Right? I know that justice will be served. If I didn't believe that justice would be served then I would lose my mind. It's not fair. Right? It's not fair. How can these people exist? How can they get away from that? But I believe in the hereafter. And I know, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what they are doing. Therefore, I have complete peace and ease that if these people do not die in my lifetime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them to task. So there's belief in Allah in that statement, belief in the akhirah. But what about all of the people that suffered? Right? For Allah to make this point of humiliating these zalimeen and letting them go. What about all of those children? What about all of those people that suffered? What does Allah Azza wa Jalla say? إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate the patients and give them their full reward without any limits. Again, belief in Allah's capability to do so and belief in the hereafter. And what do we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That on the Day of Judgment, you know those people, we have this faith crisis because we made dua to pass the MCAT and we didn't pass it. What happens? You know, that's not fair. I don't believe in God anymore. I'm having a faith crisis. Right? I really wanted to marry that sister. I really wanted to marry that brother. It didn't happen. Why is that? I'm having a faith crisis. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? On the Day of Judgment, again, belief in Allah, belief in the Day of Judgment, the hereafter. On the Day of Judgment, when the people see the du'as, the supplications that were unanswered, being answered in the hereafter, they would wish that Allah did not answer a single one of their du'as in this world. You really think on the Day of Judgment you're going to be bitter about not getting that car? You made that du'a sincerely? You'll take whatever Allah has given you in Jannah and you'll be happy with it. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ said that we would see the reward of the oppressed and we would wish that Allah would send us back مِنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمَظْلُومِينَ so that we could be from the oppressed as well. They will be happy on the Day of Judgment. They will be pleased. I don't doubt that, do you? But what about all the good that people do in this world? What about this person? What about that person? You know, how can that person, how can this happen to that person? How can that happen to that person? What's going to happen there? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let the good of the good doers go to waste. Again, belief in Allah and belief in an akhirah. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm only giving you a few examples to show you that we cannot divorce this question of evil from belief in Allah and from belief in the hereafter. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ constantly in the Qur'an. Once you realize that there is no way that this world came about from nothing, as our brother Hamza beautifully illustrated, and that there is no way that a world so elaborate was created for no purpose, and that it ends here, then you have satisfaction. You have rida. You have contentments. You are fully satisfied that everything that happens, happens for a reason, even if it happens to you and you hate it. Even if you dislike it, even if it makes you cry. And we never question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we know Allah knows what we don't know. And so we only ask ourselves how. We don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why. And so I leave you with this last sentence in regards to predestination as well. And that is the very beautiful statement that do not ask why an all-merciful God can throw one into hell. But rather ask, how can you choose hell over a merciful God? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and our minds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us pleased with His decree. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish iman firmly in our hearts and to allow rida, contentment, to be its fruit whenever we are tested. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Aqulu qawli hadha. Wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good night. Go to sleep.